Hi, and welcome to the Talk Tea to Me podcast. We're your hosts, Angela
and Lisa,
longtime friends and tea enthusiasts.
Over the years, we've discovered there's much comfort to be had in a cuppa, and we can't think of anything better than to share that comfort with you.
So put the kettle on and join us, won't you?
Hey, tea peeps.
Hey, tea peeps. How's it steeping?
That's the new catchphrase.
How's I know. It let's see if it sticks. Episode 17, Lisa. Can you believe it?
I love it.
We are so excited about this particular episode. We have a really special guest from Toronto, Vani, and we can't wait to introduce everyone to her. What a lovely lady she is.
She is the cream of the crop, really.
Yeah, really. The clotted cream on
the
top.
The clotted cream.
That'll make sense once you hear our interview. But yeah, anyway,
she's
delightful, and she makes tea bombs and caters tea parties, and she is just fully immersed in tea culture. We love it.
Yeah, it's a really good interview. I'm excited.
Yeah, I think you're all gonna enjoy it. So gosh, Lisa, I still haven't seen you properly in person, but hopefully we get to do our Valentine's tea.
Yes,
coming up
we
soon.
We are planning that hopefully next weekend,
mm-hmm.
which is like a double whammy, Valentine and friendship anniversary tea.
Yes, celebrating our 30 years. I know we've talked about it several times, but it's kind of a big deal for us. Hey, any long-term relationship should be celebrated.
I know. Yeah. I mean, people don't stay together these days, whether it's marriages, girlfriends, yep. Friendships,
yeah.
Anything, you know.
I know. It seems like there's a lot of fractured relationships in modern society. So anyone that's in it for the long haul, cheers to them and to us.
Yes. Here's to loyalty. Here.
How is everything going? Are you swamped with work? Have you had any fun off work times to share, or is it just kind of a grind?
It's been work.
Yeah.
It really has. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff. A lot of teachers out right now, sick.
And, oh, no.
You know, other teachers having to cover classes. Yeah, lots of grading to be done. We're going to have our 5-week progress reports coming out. So I'm sort of like, this weekend, I really need to make sure that, I get all the grades in.
Yeah.
Get caught up on all of that. So yeah, it's really been crazy.
It's a crunch.
No fun. I mean, not that it's not fun. I mean, I haven't had like spare time to have fun.
Right. It's just kind of go, go, go.
What about you?
Yeah. I mean, work's been really busy and I've just been dealing with a couple of health issues, but it's all going to be okay.
It is. Yes, it is.
I don't want to get too deep into it, but you know, life is a roller coaster and you just have to ride the ride.
Yep.
Take care of business, as Elvis would say.
Good old Elvis.
Oh. So yeah, I'm just trying to stay positive and, you know, literally carve out tea time and every afternoon if I can, mm-hmm. if I'm home or even if I'm out and about, I'm like, I'm just going to run into Starbucks or whatever cafe I'm near and get a cup of something. Just right. Because it is like we've talked about before, it's so comforting to just take even 5-10 minutes, just kind of regroup, have your cup of tea, that warmth, and you know, recharge.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah. But yeah, I guess that's about it. I haven't really had time to read or much of anything.
You know, I started to read the book that I was reading about the girls that opened the tea. I can't even think of the name of the book.
Oh,
and
right.
But I had to put that on pause because I'm reading books that I'm going to be teaching in school
right.
to my students. So like I have to read them before I have my students read them, you know? So
okay.
I did read an excellent book. Okay. So we just had Holocaust Remembrance Day
mm-hmm.
and it happened that the textbook that we're using, all of the literature is aligned with Holocaust awareness and stories about the Holocaust. And it fell perfectly into place with the calendar.
Wow.
I couldn't have planned it any better. And so I read a book called The Devil's Arithmetic.
Yes. Now I've heard of it. I've never read that book.
It is amazing. I read it in like 2 days. And
oh my gosh.
So I'm having most of my classes read that book. Mm-hmm. And then we have an excerpt of The Diary of a Young Girl by Anne Frank in our textbook, but I don't like the way that the excerpts, they don't give you very much.
Mm-hmm.
They don't give you enough meat from the story. But so I got a classroom set of that book for my honors class.
Okay.
So we'll be reading that. So I'm reading that right now because I've never read it before.
Never read it all the way through. I've read part of it and I, for some reason, never finished it, but that's such an important book. I think that I should even revisit it because I think everyone should read that book.
It's so great.
Yeah.
I love it so much. I love that era in history. I hate what happened,
yeah.
But it's very interesting to read that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very interesting to read what happened, especially when you're reading from somebody who went through it firsthand,
right.
You know, a primary source.
Yeah. Absolutely. Just the ground zero of someone who experienced it and just the resilient nature of so many people in that generation.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That was the exact word that I used because I had found some videos and I found a video on YouTube and it was an interview with a Auschwitz survivor named Lydia Tischler, Tischler. Mm-hmm. And that was exactly how I described her, was resilient. And mm-hmm. she says, I'm not a victim. I'm a survivor. And so I had my students write a whole thing about what's the difference between being a victim and a survivor, you know, mm-hmm. what does this mean? And what was beautiful was that we had Martin Luther King, his birthday,
mm-hmm.
and I had started out talking about, like, you know, segregation and discrimination and all these things. It tied in so perfectly with the Holocaust stuff. And now it's Black History Month.
Right. So I can transition right into that.
Yep. And then I'm going to, when we finish the Holocaust, we'll go right into some of the Black history stuff. And it's all just really relevant and correlates to each other. So it's going to be perfect.
I think that's an amazing back-to-back
mm-hmm.
Scenario that you had going there, because
the calendar, it just aligned so perfectly.
Wow.
I could not have asked for better alignment right now.
Yeah.
This was, it's so smooth.
Speaking perfect. Of that, we should definitely research some Black owned tea merchants and businesses.
Oh yeah.
So let's try to cultivate some of those vendors and people for an episode coming up. I think
that would be really great.
Neat.
Yes.
There's a Black owned coffee place where they do have some delicious teas called Bloom and Plume that is in Los Angeles. Rob and I have been there a couple of times. It's sort of the Echo Park area.
Okay. That's local.
Yeah. They've got some really interesting drinks there. They use a lot of rose and cardamom and all these yummy different flavors and concoctions. But yeah, let's research that, and then we'll do an episode before the
end of February.
Yeah,
that'd be great. Oh yeah, that'd be really nice. Good idea.
The ideas just keep on coming.
I know.
I'm caffeinated.
I'm over caffeinated right now, I think. And I've had no food to go with it, so I'm
all right. Well, you need really to
loopy to, pretty soon.
Eat some food and get ready and get your day started. All right. Well, we will get into our interview now, and we are so happy to introduce Vonnie. And before that, please take time to follow us on Instagram at Talk Tea to Me Podcast. And you can always email us at talkteatomepodcast@gmail.com. Mm-hmm.
And if you have a moment and you want to give us a review or rating and subscribe, that would be amazing. You can find us on Podbean, Apple Music, Amazon Music, and Spotify, and there may even be
Audible.
I can't remember if we're on Audible.
We're on all the platforms. Just
we're
find
on a
on
lot
your
of platforms.
One. Yeah,
just yeah, on. Find us. Find us, people.
Come find us. We're excited. We have more and more followers every day, and that makes us super happy. So tell a friend.
We're growing our tea community.
We are.
We love it.
We love it so much. We've got some fun surprises in store in the next few weeks. So without further ado, let's welcome our guests. We want to welcome Vonnie from Toronto, one of our Instagram friends. She's known as Drop a Cuppa, and she makes tea bombs. And recently attended the tea festival in Toronto, which is why we have her on, because we want to hear all about it firsthand. Welcome,
Vonnie.
Thanks for having me, both of you.
I'm obsessed with the tea bombs. We got to get into that ASAP.
Yeah. Let's talk about that first and how that came about. And I truly wish we had one to sample while you're on, but we'll definitely get that all squared away once we sign off of this interview. But go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and those tea bombs.
Yeah, so I've just been an avid tea drinker for so many years, but how I came about tea bombs is I was watching a YouTube video and I came across someone making tea bombs, and it really got me excited just because it had to do with tea. So what tea bombs are is pretty much it's made with ice malt, which is pretty much sugar glass, or I would say, when you melt it down and when it hardens again after it's been melted, it holds the shape of whatever you kind of mold it to be. So I use a silicone-based mold, and it would be in a shape of a spear or a heart. And what I would do is I would fill one half with teas, with some dry edible flowers or edible glitter, and you would close it with the other half, so it becomes one tea bomb. So when it's ready to be brewed, what you would do is you would either pour hot water over it, or you would drop it in a pot of hot water, like in a teapot. And once it hits hot water, it starts to melt, or sometimes it breaks open, and then you have this like very visually appealing, tea brewing experience where your tea becomes all glittery with some edible flowers in there. So it's just more of an experience to enhance your tea time.
I'm obsessed with this. Oh my gosh. And it's so Great British Baking Show. Like when you said isomalt, I went, yes, I know that because they use that on the Great British Bake Off.
I know. Yay. Same here. I was like, ding, ding, ding. I know that word from the British Bake Off.
But it's so fun. What a fun, like, I love glitter.
Yeah. I know. It's right up your alley. Yeah.
It's so up my alley. Like I love all this stuff. So I'm going to definitely be ordering some from you. Yeah.
Do you ship all over? How does that go with your shipping?
Well, shipping, it's actually very hard to ship just because it's very delicate. So I did try shipping, and most of them didn't make it in one piece. Uh-oh. But I can definitely try shipping it with some extra more packaging and some extra care into that packaging and see if that makes it in one piece to you guys.
Okay. Yeah. We would love that.
And you're located in Toronto. Is that correct?
Correct.
Love, 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 love your city so much.
I don't think I've been there. And if I was there, I was a very small child, but Lisa, you were there in more recent years.
I was there like 15 years ago, maybe. And I just, oh my gosh.
You loved it.
I loved it so much. I loved everything about it. The people, the it was clean, so clean. So many recycling bins on corners. And I was just so impressed. I loved it. And it's beautiful. You know, they had I was there in October and the leaves were changing and turning an orange, and it was beautiful. And then a week after I left, they had Montreal, I know, had, or Quebec had an ice storm. And I think it carried over into Toronto a bit, into
Ontario.
Yes. It carried over into Ontario a bit. So I missed that.
Yeah. Is that typical there, Vani? Your winters, are they pretty rough or what?
So actually it really depends on the year. Like right now we actually had some cold front coming. I don't know, polar vortex, something like that. Yeah. But anywho, it's really cold. The last few days recently, we're hitting like almost like feels like negative 30, 37 type of temperatures, which the last few years we'd kind of had, I would say, mild temperatures. So it really depends on the environment and where the wind's blowing, you know, where is it coming from? But what I love about where I live is that we have all four seasons. So, you know, we get to experience the beauty of fall with the autumn leaves, like the change of colors. And we have the beauty of like snow. Yes, it's cold, but like there's this that like fresh sense of like when you look out your window and there's just like beautiful snowflakes falling.
Yeah.
And it's like layered onto, you know, the trees and things like that. It's really nice. And of course, spring and then summer. Our summers are, I feel like they're too short, but hey, we can't complain too much when we have all the four seasons here.
Yeah, it's a win-win.
It sounds like a perfect area to be drinking lots of hot tea.
Yes, for sure.
So do you also, I'm not 100% sure, but do you also do catering?
Yes. Okay. So I would do catering for like anything related to tea. So I do rent out my teaware. So that if you wanted to have a tea party, you can have your teaware, you can have scones. A lot of people like my scones because I do make clotted cream at home from scratch. Like scratch, it's not a lot of work, but it's a lot of hours put in.
Right.
So then the scones, and if you want, then you can get the whole tea sandwiches with cake or something of that sort. So you're kind of having a full afternoon tea experience. And I do cater. A lot of times it's a very niche type of group that I'm promoting. So yeah. Then I would say a lot of like brides-to-be, they're having a bridal shower that's tea-themed. Mm-hmm. Or someone's having a birthday party that's tea-themed are right. The type of customers I get reached out by.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I wish that you were local. You could cater some tea.
I know. Can we just take a trip in the next couple of days yeah. over there?
Oh, of course. Come on over.
Just for that.
Okay. So everyone's taking a sip. What, Vani, what are you drinking? What's in your cuppa?
Ooh. So today, because it's a special day that I'm getting to speak to you lovely ladies, yeah. I'm drinking Lady Grey by Twin Inns.
Nice.
Okay.
And it's actually my very favorite at this point in time. It's my favorite for so many years, but it's my favorite bag tea.
Okay. I am drinking vanilla pear organic white tea from Tea Forte. It's really good. It's
and you're having it in a clear cup. Let's see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. It's.
And you said that's white tea.
It's white tea, but it's actually a little dark for white. It is. If yeah. that makes sense.
Yeah, it is. That's why I was like, you said that's white? Yeah,
I know.
But it could also be because you're wearing a dark shirt and you have the glass yeah. up against
it's,
you.
It's definitely, yeah. but anyway, it's very tasty. I'm enjoying it very much. What are you drinking, Lisa?
I am drinking Jasmine Pearl's English Breakfast.
Ooh.
It's loose. So of course I've got my I've got my teapot and mm-hmm. I've got the whole setup over here. I've got a beautiful little teacup.
Nice.
And it's delish. Really good.
Is the brand is, what is it's, the brand?
The brand is Jasmine Pearls Tea. Okay. I have another one of their teas and it's mango, which I've not yet tried, but it is loose.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the packaging. It's in a black package
mm-hmm.
With gold and white trim. And I got that from Yvonne from Momo Coco.
Oh, nice.
He sent it to me a while back. So I'm finally opening it and trying it.
I know.
It's a special occasion.
Yeah, it is special. That's why I broke out this. I got this for Christmas. They're individual little steeping packs. They're loose leaf. It was a whole box of teas from Tea Forte. Okay, Vani, let's get into it. We want to know all about this festival that you attended, something that we would love to do one day. And you, how many days was it? Was it 2 days or 3 days? Or
it was 2 days, okay. Saturday and Sunday.
And it was last weekend?
Correct.
Okay. So tell us about your experience and some of the highlights.
Oh, yes. So I attended just one day. Sadly, after I went, I realized that, a day is not enough. Mm-hmm. So I attended the Tea Fest on Saturday and I got there around 10:15 or so, got myself in line, went through the registration process. And then I sat in on my first lecture at 10:30, okay. which was called The Hidden World of the Tea Plant. And
Did you have to prearrange what lectures or could you just drop in or how did it work?
It was, you were able to drop in.
Okay.
So they had the schedule printed. They gave you a booklet as well as it was available online. Mm-hmm. So there were lectures and like tea ceremonies that were going simultaneously. So you got to pick with where you wanted or which one you wanted to attend.
Okay.
They were about, I would say, 45 minutes to an hour or so.
Okay.
So you wanted to be there when they kind of started, but you didn't have to like pre-book or anything. It was just as you like, you can go attend any of the lectures.
And the okay. lecture that you chose first was which one? I'm sorry.
It was called The Hidden World of the Tea Plant.
Oh, okay.
And that's where I learned that it takes about 7 years for a tea plant to grow or mature to be able to even pluck per tea.
Seven years? I had no idea.
Yes, on average.
That's wild.
It's crazy because they were going through the part that... if you were to start from seed, it doesn't necessarily, you can't, like every seed doesn't produce a really good tea plant because it takes 7 years. So, but when you produce from seed, there's a particular root that really digs deep and into the ground where it's more sturdier versus if they were to propagate where they would cut a branch off and try to grow a tea from that way. But then there's like pros and cons for both. So mm-hmm. on average, they were saying it takes about 7 years. And I'm sitting there being like, I'm not paying enough for these tea companies. Like, right. I need to pay more.
I know. Like when we were just talking beforehand, just thinking about the process and how much work and effort goes into getting that tea into your cupboard is just crazy.
Crazy. Yeah.
You don't really think about that either, you know?
Yeah. So then did you attend other lectures throughout the day?
Yeah. So another one I attended was, it was brewing a perfect cup of masala chai.
And ooh.
So I learned quite a bit there as well, even though I have my favorite chai blend and I make chai from scratch here and there. Sitting in on that lecture definitely gave me some tips as well.
Yeah.
About roasting your spices first. Ooh. I did not really, I guess, think about that or even came across that to really, you know, try. Mm-hmm. But when she mentioned, oh, when you roast the spices beforehand, it gives a different flavor. And I was like, duh, of course.
Yeah, right.
Like, you know,
wow. Some
tea or like different flavors that you get. I'm like, okay. And you can grind them or you can make them fresh, things like that. And the ratio of, depending on the milk that you're using, the ratio of chai that you would make, depending on when you put the tea leaves in, makes mm-hmm. such a big difference in the taste of your cha that you're making. So I definitely learned quite a bit there as well.
Interesting.
Right.
Of course, that makes sense, but
yeah.
I'm trying to figure out if Melfred does that when he makes the chai at home.
Ask him.
I don't know. I mean, I know he's doing it over the stove and he's, you know, got all his spices and everything, but I don't know if he's what he's doing with it. I don't pay attention. I just
secret.
Drink it. Yeah. I'm like, give it, bring it. Come on.
So
let's go.
Did they have like the perfect recipe that they were kind of presenting?
So she had her own book and she said that the recipe for their spices, their mixes, blends were in the recipe book for you to be able to do it from scratch. Mm-hmm. But if not, they were also selling pre-made or chai blends. Mm-hmm. Where what you would do is you would use their spices and then you mix it with your favorite black tea
to make
your own chai. Mm-hmm. So they were, which was great because if you don't have the time or effort to be able to roast and then grind all these spices,
sure.
they had it pre-made there for you. But if you wanted to go ahead and try your own blends, then she had a recipe, like an actual book there, but recipes in the book as well.
Have you tried roasting your spices yet? Or
I did.
And?
Different taste for sure. I would definitely recommend it.
Okay.
And depending on the spices that you use, it enhances like certain flavors come out. But it was really good. Let me tell you that. It was really good. I would recommend you trying to roast some of the spices before. And
the cardamom. What else? Like the cloves? Would you roast cloves?
Yeah. So in the blend that I tried, which was not her recipe, it was just me roasting whatever spices I kind of put in my chai prior.
Yeah.
So I put cardamom, cinnamon, cloves, and a little bit of ginger.
That's exactly how we have it. Yeah.
Okay. Now I want a cup of chai.
I almost had chai.
You did?
Because I have a bunch of chais that I just got and I just thought, no, I want to try the, you know how I am about English breakfast.
I know.
I really
tried
love
and
it.
True.
Yeah. So I was like, I have to start the day out with this. I can have the chai later.
You can graduate to the chai later.
I'll do that
afternoon.
Later though. Yeah, for sure.
So did you attend more lectures after that?
Yes, two more actually.
Wow. Okay. Do tell.
The other one was the third lecture I sat in on was called Finding Your Zen with Japanese Green Tea.
Nice.
Yes. And so the speaker that spoke, she mentioned how Japan got their tea. Like tea is not known for Japan prior to actually a monk who visited China, had matcha and like green teas and things like that. And he thought to himself, well, Japanese people would definitely benefit from this, but he couldn't take the seeds across the border, whatever the border was back in the day. But what he did was he actually smuggled some tea seeds in his cane and took it to Japan. And look at Japan now, everyone's drinking green tea and matcha. So that's how that. Pretty much green tea, or tea.
In his cane. How in creative. His cane. How cute.
And of all things, a monk.
Yeah, right. A monk, a yeah. Monk.
That's one bad monk right there. Woohoo.
Yeah. So, and the speaker, she was also mentioning about certain tea growers or tea farmers who are really not using machinery. They're trying to really keep the tradition going. Mm-hmm. And she mentioned a particular tea farm where she went and visited, and how much the soil means, how much, of course, like taking care of the plants. And 7 years is a lot. So, you know, you're taking care of these plants, making sure that they're not frosting. Right. It affects so many different things affect the tea plant. So, and how they, after harvesting, like pretty much for green tea, to really have good green tea or make good matcha, they have to steam it right away to stop the oxidization process. And that's how you get really bright green, like matcha powders.
Yeah, because it's so vibrant, right?
It's very vibrant. So that's, yeah. As soon as you like steam and kind of freeze, or stop that oxidization process, is when brightest, greenest tea you get. And everything that they do is by hand. They don't really use any machinery. Mm. So, wow. And of course, like with now, and their teas are going to be more expensive, but they're really good. So one of the tea farmers, they won first place in the Tea World Fest. What is it called? The World Tea Expo. There we go.
Oh, yes. Yeah. We had someone talking about that on our podcast. Yes.
So I went ahead and purchased their tea. I haven't tried them yet because I feel like when you're having authentic handmade green tea, mm-hmm. I want to be able to brew it and use the right teaware as well.
Yeah.
So I want to like appreciate, you know, the effort that went in, not just use a mug and a tea strainer and just call it a day. I definitely want to go through the experience. And so I haven't enjoyed it yet, but we'll do soon.
Okay. We look forward to hearing about that.
Yeah.
Let us know.
When you do, yeah. Please let us know and tell us all about it.
That sounds Show so us. Lovely. Yeah. Please post about that because that sounds fantastic. And then did you have one more that you attended?
Yes. And the last one was called Tea Medicine, the History of Practice of Medicinal Tea in China.
Ooh. Yeah.
So a summary of this, it was actually a different take on it. So it's not, the speaker was not necessarily was saying like, oh, if you have a headache, have green tea. Mm-hmm. If you have, you know, constipation, have oolong. Like it wasn't like that type of tea medicine. He was talking more of the effects of tea, whether it's positive or negative, on different body types.
Okay.
So he was taught, like, he was just kind of expressing the fact that, so some people, they could have, let's say, black tea, and they would feel so hot, like their body temperature rises. When someone else might have black tea, the same tea, and feel nothing. Or someone might have green tea and say that, oh, I feel a little lethargic today. But someone could have green tea and say, oh, I feel really energetic. Mm-hmm. So what he was kind of saying is everyone's body composition or type is different. Tea is not for everyone, or every type of tea is not for everyone. And so don't think that, you know, if you're reacting a certain way, or it's because like you're not appreciating it, or you're not quote unquote normal. It's just that that's how your body responds mm-hmm. To tea. So that was actually a different take than what I expected.
Was it due to blood type? Was that what it was? Or
he didn't mention blood type. He just mentioned like body type, more like so like different like not necessarily because of everyone could be different. But he pretty much said that he wasn't acupuncturist, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. So it was tying into that as well. Mm-hmm. So it's not just necessarily one body type. This is how everyone of that body type is going to feel. You can change as you age. You can change as different seasons and things like that.
Right.
Which is actually definitely unique for me to sit in on and listen. Mm-hmm. When we had some questions in the audience as well, where they were asking, and he was like saying, yeah, well, I can't really diagnose you or anything of that sort, but it may be because of your body type or because of this or that, that you feel that way.
Right.
So that was really interesting.
Gosh, now I want to go in and have a complete tea profile made for my body.
Well, you know, it actually makes sense because people have mentioned that to me where, you know, if I just share with someone that I'm an avid tea drinker and I love tea and I offer tea, making tea to everyone and anyone that would say yes. When some people would say, no, actually, I don't like the way tea makes me feel. And I didn't understand that necessarily, but after sitting in on his lecture, I was like, okay, that makes sense because I mean, when you drink tea and you love tea so much, you're just like, what do you mean? Tea doesn't make you feel good. Of course it makes you feel good.
Right.
But this may be the reason why it doesn't fit well with everyone.
Okay. Yeah,
that's enlightening. I'm just curious, was this event like in an expo hall or what was the setup and it, did it feel like it was just packed to the gills? Was it super crowded or?
Well, where it was held was at the Toronto Reference Library.
Okay.
It is a beautiful place, like just the architecture and everything. So just want to mention, plug it in there, that the weekend, he actually filmed one of his music videos there. So it's really well known for its architecture.
Okay.
Ooh, okay. I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah, we'll look that up.
Like the weekend. He's great. Yeah. So
the event, so it's a library. So they have it in small, like I would say conference rooms. Mm-hmm. And there was like this one section where I would say was more like a maybe conference hall or like a meeting center. So it was pretty, I would say in the grand scheme of things, it was actually a pretty small space and it was packed, definitely packed. Like to the point where I felt like I had to like fight and wrestle my way through the front to try to tea taste.
Yeah.
Because there were so much people. There was so much tea to try from each company too. So definitely was packed and like it is a, I would say, no, I don't want to say it's too small space. I want to say that it's a very cozy and inviting space.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
it's a library. I mean, how much better can
I know.
That get?
Our bells are like, what?
Books and tea. I mean,
books and tea.
There you go. It's perfect. It's heaven.
It's a perfect environment. Mm-hmm. Was the tea tasting that was all inclusive in the ticket or?
Yes. So the ticket, I feel like it was so worth it, the price that you paid to go. So they gave a small tea tasting, like tea glasses. Mm-hmm. It was so cute. But I love the fact that they also thought about the environment as well. It wasn't just trying, you know, you're tasting a little bit of tea, like probably not even half an ounce or so. Mm-hmm. So instead of throwing away all these disposable cups, I believe it's glass, but there were small little cups that was provided once you checked in and you were able to kind of use that to go when you're tea tasting from each company.
That's great.
So that was great that they provided that. And so one small little teacup got me tasting over probably 50 different blends of tea that day.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
And then was there a depository at the end where you could, you know, place your used cup in there and they would recycle?
I brought it home.
Oh, you brought it home. Okay. Okay. Cute.
No. I brought it home.
I love that too.
I honestly, if they did, I didn't pay attention because I was like, I'm keeping this. This is too cute.
Yeah.
A little memento.
But yeah. I mean, it would be so in tune with Toronto to do that because they are just so on board with recycling and all of that. Yeah.
We try. Definitely.
Oh yeah. There's recycling bins all over that city. I was so impressed by that.
Yeah.
No, we don't have that. And I was so impressed with that when I was there. I think that actually did help keep the city as clean as it is.
Oh, thank you.
Hopefully it still is like that. I haven't been in a while.
It's different to get a different perspective from someone not from here because I feel like sometimes we take what we have for granted or we don't notice those small things. So it's nice to hear your perspective on our city.
I love it. I love it. It's beautiful.
When you did the tea tasting, was the vendor there selling?
Yes.
Okay.
So some of the vendors were selling. Some of them were there for... like educational purposes, and they had some samples there that you were able to take. So majority of the vendors, I would say they were selling, you were able to purchase. Now I already had so much advent calendars and a lot of shopping, like holiday shopping I did.
Yeah.
So I was really trying not to spend too much, but I couldn't help it. So
of course you have to, right?
So then I did end up buying, there was a company called the Chai Brewing Company and they had beautiful samples to taste. And so I bought one of their, it was called Masala Cha. And so I grabbed one of their blends. Then from the Japanese company, like the farmer that won first place in the world, I was like, okay, how am I supposed to get my hands on his tea if I don't do it now?
Right.
So I grabbed his tea. And then I grabbed a few samples from other brands and then their business cards so that I was able to like look into and or purchase them after. So that's what I, or how much I spent or did during my time there.
Right. Oh, wow. That sounds like such a blast. Is it an annual event?
Yes. Okay. So I found out, I only kind of got exposed to this year or more like end of last year when they were advertising, but they've been around, I think, since 2013 or so, and they've been doing it every year except for during COVID times. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they do it every year around this time. So either mid-January to probably early February, depending on the timings. But okay, they do it every year. And unfortunately, this was my first year going, and I've been here the whole time.
Oh, well, so better late than never.
Yep. Exactly. Now you have better late planning for the future. You can make up for lost time.
Right.
That's do they so- have, I'm curious if it was, did they have any teaware vendors there? Like, were they selling or showcasing any cups and strainers or anything
or
new
teapots
and innovative?
Or, yeah.
Yeah. So some of the companies that they did for sure. Some of the companies, what they did was they had tea as well as teaware there for you to purchase. Mm-hmm. So it complemented what they were selling. Mm-hmm. So like, for example, the Chai Brewing Company, they might sell the strainers more specific to straining your cha versus like another company might sell the their own type of teapot that's unique to their brand. So yes, definitely some companies did. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately I didn't buy any teaware, but they were very nice to look at. And some of the companies definitely did make it special for the Toronto Tea Fest.
Mm, wow. How wonderful.
That is such a cool thing to go to. You're very lucky.
Yeah. Don't you want to go, Lisa? Like, we need to plan and try
to
go next
year.
Gosh.
I would love it. Oh my gosh. I'm thinking, I would have to, it's right in the middle of a semester. I'd have to,
I know,
cram that in so fast on a weekend and then come back and teach again.
It would be a whirlwind from tea to teaching. But yeah, we would really love to attend this event. It sounds fantastic. I'm so happy that you came on to talk about it. Tell us what the tea scene is like in Toronto. Like, are there a lot of tea cafes? Can you easily find a place to go have afternoon tea?
Ooh, okay. So personal experience or personally speaking, I would say there's a lot of lately, a lot of boba tea or bubble tea.
Mm-hmm.
Lots popping up literally everywhere.
Here too. Yep.
So that's been the more, I would say, tea scene that I see in the forefront or in the storefront.
Mm-hmm.
In regards to afternoon tea, not too much. It would be in the hotels.
Mm-hmm.
There might be a tea room here or there, but not too much. And okay, it's not very well, I would say, advertised or spoken about within the community.
Mm-hmm.
Just from like the people that I spend my tea talks with.
Yeah.
A lot of them, or a lot of us, we don't attend a lot of tea rooms or afternoon tea spots because there's not too much, or it's a little too expensive or out of our budget.
Yeah.
Versus when I see people attending like in Europe, and they're just like every afternoon they're at a tea room.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's always there, but here you might have to make it like a plan a date to go.
And, right.
So it's not provided all year long, or it's not every day.
Right. It's not.
I
like
did go to tea when I was there. I did go to a tea room.
Do you know what it was?
I don't know the name of it, but I want to say it was near Lake Ontario.
Okay.
Hmm.
And it was not very crowded.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that makes sense. There were not a lot of people in there. It was probably out of a lot of people's price ranges. I think it was a little steep, but I wanted to do it.
Yeah.
You know, so it was one of those things where I just made a point of it,
mm-hmm,
but I can't even tell you the name of the place. I just remember it was close to Lake Ontario.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's something that I find too, just the price. And a lot of times it's also not advertised as much as well. Like a lot of people, when I say tea, they just think of like bag tea in the sense, it's not a bad thing. I'm just saying like Tetley.
Yeah.
They think of that. They think of any of the brands that you see in the supermarket.
Right.
So if I was to say any of the companies, they're not too familiar. So they don't know what afternoon tea is. It's not part of what, you know, something that they grew up. Versus I feel like everyone in Europe would just, that's part of your life. Like you, it's almost like you're given a break time during 3 and 5 p.m. to go and have afternoon tea. So
yeah. And so many European countries embrace that. That is just part of the culture and the daily life. It's not a big deal. It's just casual. And that's what everyone does.
Yeah.
How did you get so into tea? Did you grow up in a tea drinking family?
Yes.
Okay.
I literally feel like my mom, like the second I was on solids, like was just like, here you go, you can have tea, no problem. Like my parents.
What a great mom.
I know. She did it right. I love that. And what ethnicity are you?
I'm Sri Lankan. So I'm from a small island just off of India.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So, or if you might know us as the Ceylon, because there's Ceylon tea. So that's where I'm from. So my mom, it's funny because I remember when I was really young, we visited someone's home and they were offering tea to everyone. And as youngsters, you're not supposed to have an opinion of what you want. You're supposed to just drink or eat whatever the host gave you.
Yeah, whatever's put in front of you, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yes. So when she looked at me, she said, "Did you want juice?" And I said, "No, I'll have tea." And she was like, "No, you can't have caffeine. You're too young." And I'm sitting there like, "But my mom gives me tea."
Oh, so cute.
So like it was actually different, I guess, for me than other kids growing up, because my parents were just like, we were part of, it was a family thing that we always did. Every morning, my mom would make milk tea. Mm-hmm. So we would have tea as a family together. There was not a day. It's either I'm drinking tea at home in the morning or it's in a mug and it's coming with me on my way out.
And what was the tea itself? Did you mention that? What was the actual tea blend?
Oh, it would just be black tea and milk, or she would put like ginger in it, or she'll make it like a masala chai, but majority of the time it was just black tea with milk. Mm-hmm. And then during afternoons, we would have plain tea, which is no milk or cream in your tea, just maybe sugar if you wanted. Mm-hmm. And we would have some snack with it. So it was our version of like afternoon tea, but nothing too fancy.
Right.
So my family, my parents and my like aunts and uncles, it was such a norm in our family that I pretty much grew up drinking tea every day. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't till actually 2014 when I walked into my very first David's Tea store, mm-hmm. where I would say I kind of really got started into the world of teas. Mm-hmm. They had so many blends, so many different types of teas that at the time what I would do is, because I wanted to try them all and they had so much. Mm-hmm. So I would say, "Can you give me like a scoop of these teas?" And they would do so. They would, in a small pack, they would, whatever tea I wanted, they would put a scoop of it so I can try each one. So mm-hmm. I didn't have to purchase like 25 grams of tea to just try a cup. So I did that. And that's how I would say I got started with this whole process, like world of tea, other than what I was exposed to with my parents.
Yeah, that's wonderful. What is David's Tea? I'm not familiar.
So David's Tea is actually a Canadian owned company. And they are like, I would say, one of the companies that provide a lot of different blends. So a lot of they have seasonal teas, they have the regular teas that are available all year long, but they're like, I would say to me, they were the company that kind of brought tea to the forefront of being able, like loose leaf blends.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they had their own stores. So you were able to purchase a cup as in like you were able to buy, they would make whatever tea that you would like, however you'd like it, like almost like a cafe, but not too, like it wasn't advertised as a cafe per se, but if you wanted, they can make that for you. But it was more of like the whole experience that they would have big jars of their teas and you can smell it, you can see it, you can purchase from them. Mm-hmm. So I would say that's like David's Tea was the company that kind of brought it to the forefront.
Wow. So are they cool throughout Canada or?
Yes. So they're pretty much throughout Canada, but due to COVID, they did close a lot of stores, but they're available online. Like you can shop from them online.
Okay.
So yeah, definitely search them up. They're a good company to really start exploring like blends of teas. That's how I started with the blends of teas.
I love that. And I love a place where you can go in and look at the tea, smell it, get a feel for it and sample things. It really helps add to the experience. And then you can build your tea profile and you really get to know what you like and don't like.
Yeah. And we're like, you know, in doing so, that's where I kind of learned by experience that just because something smells good doesn't mean that it's going to brew the same way.
Exactly.
Right? You know, something might not have any aroma to it, but then when you brew it, oh, the flavors come through. So just by that experience, I was able to learn by just experience, personal experience.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible. Yeah.
I just looked them up and found their Instagram. So we are now following them.
Oh, good.
Our podcast.
Well, whenever we make it up there, we'll have to go and check one out for sure.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
So tell us where everyone can find you online.
Oh, well, I'm actually very active on Instagram. So I would say Instagram would be the first place to go at drop.a.cuppa. Mm-hmm. So it's drop a cuppa. Yeah. So find me on Instagram. That's what I would say. And see if you like my content. And if you like, then follow and follow my journey.
And if people are local and they want to order or book tea parties or whatnot, catering, how can they find you there?
They can message me on Instagram.
Okay.
Or I do have a website, but the website name is too long. So I would say you can find me on Instagram. You can message me.
Okay.
DM me on Instagram, or you can fill out the order form on my website.
Okay, perfect. It was just such a delight to talk to you and get to hear firsthand about this festival, because I'm sorry we missed it, but hopefully we make it one day. And it just sounds like a magical place for tea lovers.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely was. I was in La La Land and I was on a tea high.
I bet.
If we do go, we are going to have to meet up with you.
Yes. And
yes.
Experience this together.
Yes. Absolutely. So when you two do come down one year, please let me know.
Okay. We absolutely will. Okay. Thank you so much. We look forward to keeping in touch.
Okay. It was great talking to you. Thank you, Bonnie.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you so much. Keep in touch.
Will do. Take care.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.